You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Today is Veterans Day. It's also the anniversary of the end of World War I. That's why it's on the 11th, because in 1918, on November 11th at 11 o'clock, World War I ended. And that is going to be the subject, not World War I, but the fact that war is a recurring theme in history. As a matter of fact, the history of mankind, to a large extent, is the history of war. And as a result, many, many people die, not only soldiers on both sides, but civilians, and many people die of disease. Because one of the problems with wars is you do have famines, and you also have disease spreading. Now, what brings about war, largely, especially in the modern period, it's governments. Governments are responsible for wars. Whether they're declared or undeclared, governments institute wars. And we have various forms of governments. We have both democratic or representative governments, but we also have tyrannies, whether the title is monarch, dictator, general, ismo. There are a lot of titles. But the point is, you have people in the world that go to war and thrive on war, profit from war, benefit from war, and who pays? Not only the combatants, the soldiers, the sailors, pilots, but also, and that's on both sides, and they both believe they're in the right. Both believe God's on their side, and it's a just war. And many times it is, but many times it isn't. But it's the civilians that pay the highest price. And it's all brought about by government, and that's an abstraction, by man. Man, politicians, generals, kings, queens, taking their country, their kingdom, their empire to war. And what I did, I was just curious from two points of view. How many American casualties have there been in war, both deaths and wounded, and really also how many wars the United States of America has been engaged in? And there are quite a few. I remember George Bush being interviewed, and I think it was an answer to a question. He made the point that, well, there's been over 200 wars, or where we've used military, that have been undeclared. There's only been five that were actually Congress actually declared that. Now, there's a reason I'm bringing that up. It's not to criticize George Bush, and that number is now increased by several, by at least two or three. But I think the wisdom of the founding fathers of this country that wrote the United States Constitution and founded this nation was profound. They had just fought a revolutionary war against the most powerful nation in the world at the time, namely the United Kingdom or Great Britain, and they won. They were not expected to win. They weren't. And it was a minority in the colonies that actually fought the war and won the war. And for most of the war, and it was a long war, most of the battles were won by the British, not the Americans. And some extent, the first guerrilla war was the American Revolution. I'm sure you can go back in history and find earlier ones. Because if the colonists had directly confronted British troops on a field of battle, they would have lost. They were faced with trained, professional soldiers of the King of England, and they would have lost. They didn't play by the rules. They played by their rules, and our first president, George Washington, commanded our troops. And the problem then was these troops were not well fed, well clothed, well armed, and it was hard to even get people in the field. It wasn't supported, and there's a lesson in that. And I think there's a reason why the U.S. Constitution leaves it only to Congress to declare war. The problem has been that has been not honored. Now, you'll get an argument from some attorneys that I'm being a little picky here in saying, because you could make the case, and some have made the case, that you don't need a formal declaration of war if Congress, for example, gives you the authorization in terms of funding to engage in military action. And I agree, that's better than nothing. And you do need money if you're going to fight a prolonged war. There's no doubt about that. And that's what we're debating right now as to what the military authorization will be to get reengaged in Iraq. But I think the wisdom of having a declaration of war, to the extent that we actually follow the Constitution, is to have a national conversation prior to engaging in war, given the fact that, first of all, it's our own sons and daughters that will be dying, will be getting wounded, and even if they're not, they're going to be killing people. Some of them will be combatants, in other words, the military forces of another nation. Others will be civilians, so-called collateral damage, that simply were in the wrong place at the wrong time. The point is, a lot of people, both those that want to be there, or at least enlisted to be there, will die and be wounded, but a lot on the other side will, as well as civilians. The United States has been very fortunate that, with the big exception being the Civil War and the Revolutionary War, there have been very few instances where the homeland or the United States has been invaded. Very few. We also have another issue. Today we have what's called a voluntary force. And I'm for a voluntary force. Need to say that up front. I was a volunteer. I willingly enlisted in the United States Air Force and actually extended it by a year by accepting a regular commission. So I was in the military for 5 years. I wasn't drafted. However, I grew up in the period where we did have a draft. And that was the Vietnam War. Now, I'm bringing this up for a reason. During the Vietnam War, it became on all college campuses a big issue. It was talked about. It was protested. And a lot of the reasons for ultimately getting out of that war was the fact that there was a national conversation. No, we didn't declare war, but it became a subject every day on the news, and you had protests across the United States, both for and against the war. And something that needs to be said, the overwhelming majority of the American people supported the Vietnam War. You might get the impression that the majority were against. No, that's not the case. And at that point, it was the Democrats and what they used to be called liberals that were pushing and responsible for the war in Vietnam. I remember my junior year in college, and I knew absolutely nothing about Vietnam, but I did some reading on it. And I came to the conclusion a mistake was being made, namely, we were fighting someone else's war. Matter of fact, we were fighting someone else's civil war, and that was a mistake. So even though I had already volunteered and the next year received my commission, I really had no desire whatsoever to go to Vietnam. I thought it was both a political and military mistake. And my biggest objection is, one, it wasn't declared. Now, you do have some resolutions, and I could go into that history, but I don't want to bore you. But it illustrates the point. Prior to committing U.S. troops, the armed forces of this country, prior to committing putting men and women in harm's way, you need to have what I call and others have called a national conversation on the subject. And I think it's about time we get back to the Constitution, because I think there was wisdom in the Founding Fathers insisting that only Congress could declare war, because they understood that the president, also the commander-in-chief, there's a natural inclination for whoever that is, no matter what the political party, no matter what the political philosophy, to take the nation to war. And we're seeing that today. There's a move afoot to bring back the United States military into Iraq and to really destroy the Islamic State. And it's a reprehensible force. Let me say this, and I've said it over and over again. Throughout the world today, there's evil going on. There are some very, very bad people out there. Some would say they're pathological killers. They lust for killing people. And it's all over the world. It's not just in Iraq. But my point is this. We cannot, the United States and its people cannot be policemen of the world. No one appointed us, and we should not assume that role. Because once you do and intervene in a country, especially when you have not had a declaration of war, you might get a military authorization to spend money, and I think that is going to happen. And that's a mistake. I listened to a YouTube video, and before I forget, for those that are new to the show, the way that you listen to this show is to go to my companion blog, pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. At the very top, you'll have links to the past 60 to 80 shows. It's top of the page. At the very bottom of the page, you'll have links to my entire portfolio of shows, except for some of the early shows that were accidentally overwritten. But in between, you'll have videos, and as well as articles, photographs, charts. It depends on what's the story of the day. I think the story today should be veterans, because they ultimately pay the price. Some pay the ultimate price and are killed. Others are severely wounded. And you got to keep in mind, all of these people have family, friends, acquaintances, and all of them will be affected, especially when you have a war that grows and grows in size. And that's what happened in Vietnam. I can remember when there were only a few advisors in Vietnam. A matter of fact, I actually met one. I was in the Boy Scouts then, but we went to summer camp, and one of the people there was Special Forces, and he was taking a break and teaching us survival skills. Now, I don't know what happened to him, but I know he was sent back to Vietnam. And these were the early days when there was really a small number of advisors. And it always starts, doesn't always, but it typically starts with advisors. I think they called them Military Advisory Group, MAG, something like that. Now, I bring that up because that's one of the dangers. We want to help people out. And we did. We wanted to help people out in Vietnam because we're fighting a war against communism. See, there's always a boogeyman, and many of the boogeymen are real, and they do not wish us well and do not wish our allies well. But the danger is always to fight someone else's battle. I'm not against providing aid, and that's usually military weapons, supplies, ammunition. But I think the mistake that is made today, and repeated and repeated and repeated, like we never learned from Vietnam, is to fight someone else's war, a civil war usually. That's what was happening in Vietnam. You had the communists in North Vietnam, and you had the non-communists in South Vietnam, and you had the civil war, guerrilla war going on. And under both Kennedy and later LBJ, we got increasingly involved in it to the point over 500,000 troops were there. And that tends to happen. That's exactly what happened. Iraq is a little different. I think the biggest problem with Iraq was in the first Iraq war, we didn't finish the dictator there. That was the big mistake. And then using the so-called war on terror as cover, we invaded that country. Now, Saddam Hussein was not a nice guy. He was one of these evil dictators, not liked by his people. But they didn't have a civil war going on then, and they didn't have bombings every day across the country, and you didn't have Shiites and Sunnis killing each other. But after we overthrew them, the people there were expecting big things from the Americans, and it simply didn't happen because we never planned on, after we won the battle, once you intervene in a country, you suddenly become responsible, whether you want it or not, or whether you don't even want the responsibility for some basic public services such as water, electricity, police, patrolling, and we became liberators first, and then within a year, more and more, we were perceived, rightly or wrongly, as occupiers. And then you had a civil war. Actually, it was Al-Qaeda being attracted into the country and taking sides, and you had the Shia fighting the Sunnis. Now, we had a change of strategy there, and we ultimately defeated Al-Qaeda in Iraq. We did it by the old-fashioned way of bribing or paying off or putting on the payroll, would probably the preferred way they would like to describe it, but we bribed with money, put on the payroll, the Sunnis. And they provide us information that led to the defeat of Al-Qaeda in Iraq and other insurgent groups. The problem is, we were dealing with a country that we really didn't know that much about. And there's a animosity between the Shia, which are the majority in Iraq in terms of numbers, and the Sunnis, which are a minority. So after we set up nation build, they had an election, the Shiites won, you had representatives in their parliament of Sunnis. The prime minister there, Maliki, became threatened with the Sunnis. And you had militia groups of both the Sunnis and the Shia killing each other. People were being disappeared. In other words, they were tortured and killed. And now we have people in our Senate, in our House, that want to go back and get involved to destroy the Islamic State. And you've seen them, and I've seen them, the videos of the Islamic State. ISIS is another name that the television networks more or less prefer to call them, of killing Iraqis. Who are they primarily killing? Iraqi government army and police that are Shia. And that's the fundamental thing you need to understand. It is a sectarian religious war going on. And both sides are killing each other. And this has been going on for years. And now we're going to again take sides. Is there a national debate going on in the United States? Not really. And why? There's no draft. It's a completely voluntary force. In other words, if you want to serve in the military, you volunteer. You go to your local recruiter, whether it's Marines, the Army, the Air Force, and sign up. You make a commitment. And most of the people understand that it's typically a 3 or 4 year commitment, and you're going to be under military command. You're going to be ordered to go to countries that you probably don't want to go to, whether it's Iraq, Afghanistan. We're about ready to pull out. We're pulling out right now out of Afghanistan. A matter of fact, within weeks, we'll be gone. And see, that's one of the problems. When you intervene in a country, the locals, to a certain extent, if they trust you, become dependent on you. But when you ultimately leave, they may or may not be able to stand what they call standing up. And what's even more problematic is we rely on not only ground troops, but the combination of ground troops and our air forces and helicopters and artillery and armor to intervene in any country. Most of these countries are poor, or they don't have an air force any longer. It's been destroyed. And they don't have trained people that can be either pilots or tank commanders. So it's difficult for them, other than infantry, to fight a civil war. Now, I'm not for going back to Iraq. And I think the majority of American people don't want to go back to Iraq. But will we have that conversation? I'm skeptical as to whether we will. And getting back to my point, General Dempsey, he's chairman of the Joint Chiefs, 4-star Army general. He's served in the military for over 40 years. When talking about Iraq, use the word our interest. That's an abbreviation, folks. But so is President Obama. He uses the two words, national interest. But they never, 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 never are specific. Yes, we want to protect Americans that are in a country, especially our diplomatic personnel. I'm looking at the clock. I'm going to have to wrap it up. My time is short. Now, I might continue this tomorrow. And the reason I bring that up, that should be part of the conversation. Why do we want to go there? And it's never really talked about. And that's my point. It's never talked about. That's why yesterday I brought up the real national interest there is oil. That's why we want to send troops there. But that needs to be part of the conversation. With that, I'll close today's show and dedicate this to our veterans. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College.